WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket,
my little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
You make me vicious. Watch as I make the pain my mistress. You can call me Miss Malicious. I'll dress you up in stitches. No, I cannot resist this. If it don't hurt, I get suspicious. I like to take the life and twist it.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to have Twitch Prime and you'd like to use it here, we'll just click the purple button up at the top of the screen and see if you have a sub available, and then feel free to use it here if you do. But if you don't, you can use it elsewhere. That's fine, too. We won't mind, but we'd really love it if you'd support the channel. Also, follow me, twitch.tv/LindsayWard. Thanks. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
She's getting as good as me by just sliding it right in there and just making sure you know.
I mean, do you guys know I have a Twitch? You hear? I stream occasionally.
She's a streamer right away. Hashtag streamer right away. Hashtag.
I'm up to one day a week.
One day a week? Actually, two.
Technically two.
Two. Twitch.tv/LindsayWard. Follow it. 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 Do it. She's a content creator. Not content provider. She's a content creator.
I'm not a good one, but I'm a content creator.
She is a content creator. Tweet us at Wild Talk Creator. I record this show with Ellen's Word on the Twitter machine. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RecordNewsShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive, and hosted by Twitch.tv/LindsayWard to interact with us live.
Yep, so we have a lot to get into tonight. If you heard it on the pre-show, we do have guests coming on a little bit later in the show when we talk about NXT TakeOver Portland. We're going to preview it tonight. We're going to have the analyst and the assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional analyst on. But we are going to talk about the news first, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we've got some big, big, big stories that broke this week. I think the biggest one of all. It's 5 stars. It's going on the Walk of Fame. Handprints, feet prints, the whole work. That's right. Mania is going Hollywood again.
Again.
I'm just going to say this, in case you didn't figure it out. WrestleMania is going to LA next year. Anyway,
In the big new stadium.
In the big new fancy stadium. If we do not get the movie trailers like we did before, I'm going to be really pissed off at people.
Those were so awesome.
Those were fantastic. Those were so good. I need that, because if nothing else, they gave us the Undertaker's Dirty Harry. I mean, come on! Get with it!
They have some great actors on the roster that they can put in there, put in situations. I just need to see it. It needs to be done.
I mean, they could spoof the Oscar nominees if they wanted to. Like, come on! Need it in my life. I so need it. That was such a great marketing campaign that they did for it. They have to do it again.
And I think they will. I mean, the logo has film in it, so it's like...
Yeah.
I think they're going to, in their own way.
Probably. They'll do it a little bit different, but if I don't get the movies, I'm going to be upset. I will be genuinely heartbroken and upset, because that's such a missed opportunity for people to just have fun.
Oh, yeah. They're expecting, the building seats 70-something thousand without, like, extra seating. They're up to upwards of 100,000 people for WrestleMania. Next year is what they're expecting to do, which is awesome. And Stephanie was talking about, like, the roof that's going to, it's a translucent roof that they're going to have on the building. So they can do all the lighting and imaging on top of the roof that they want.
Oh, that'll be neat.
And because it's translucent, people who fly over, whatever event it is, you can put imaging up on top of it too, like when the planes fly over.
Oh, nice. So you could have, like, the WrestleMania logo on top of the building.
Yeah, when people are flying.
People are flying into LAX.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, like, that, the potential is cool. The building's not done yet, so it's like they're going to be the first big event in that stadium.
Of course they are. I mean, I'm just saying, Mercedes-Benz is still available, guys. The roof works now, for real. They got the roof to work, so just saying, if WWE wanted to come here, that'd be great. I say that every time they announce WrestleMania, because I want them to come back to Atlanta really, really bad.
Can you tell?
Can you tell? Because it's like, I want to go again. I do not want to have to pay for a hotel or flights or anything like that. I've, like, half considered going down to Tampa, but just can't, don't want to swing that or manage that. So, yeah, keep hoping that they bring it to Atlanta, but we'll have to see. So good on LA. Should be a fun time. Movie trailers. But before we get to LA next year, we're getting a little bit of glitz and glam in a Hollywood for SmackDown, because I swear to God, we manifested him. Rock and I were sitting here. We were having a conversation. We brought his name up. I was like, no, he's not going to show up. No, that's not going to happen. 24 hours later, it got announced that John Cena will be appearing on SmackDown tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow.
Or I'm sorry.
The 28th.
The 28th. There you go. I thought it was tomorrow for some reason. But anyway, we manifested him.
The day after the Saudi show, so they're making sure, just in case people can't get back, there'll be at least one star on the show.
They've got this locked down. They've got this taken
They've
care of.
They've learned from the mistakes of the last time. John Cena will have to improv for 2 hours if no one can get back.
Well, I mean, if they're smart, they kind of throw the necessary people on a plane and then they get them out as soon as they possibly can.
It seems like the Saudi show is going to be more of a raw, talented show with a handful of SmackDown people.
Like Bray's going.
Yeah, because Bray's defending against Goldberg. But a lot of the mid-card talent will probably stay back because just reasons.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, they'll be still, SmackDown's going to be heavily featured, but they're not doing a greatest Royal Rumble or a huge Battle Royal where you need everybody this time around.
Well, I think after last time, they had a problem where a lot of people probably don't want to go because of all the travel problems and the fact that people couldn't get back and they were stranded and they had such a hard time. So, from what I understand, there were, I don't think they necessarily refused, but there were a lot of people that were like, never again. Mm-hmm. Never doing that again.
But go ahead.
But money, maybe money talks.
Money always talks. But yes, John Cena is back for his push to WrestleMania.
First time in a minute since he's been on WrestleMania.
I mean, in wrestling, first time in a while since he's wrestled. I mean,
yeah.
Last year he rap battled. The year before that, he wrestled The Undertaker after he was a fan.
They kind of had a slap fight.
And then he had the year before that, what was the mixed tag match?
That was either the mixed tag match or that was... Yeah, I think that was the mixed tag match.
The mixed tag match where he got down on one knee.
And he proposed to Nikki.
And well, yeah.
And we all know how that worked out. So, yeah, so John Cena will be wrestling probably at WrestleMania, and they're starting his build right after the Saudi show. And interestingly enough, maybe The Rock might have a reason to come back, too.
Say what?
because WWE made it official. They have signed Simone Johnson to the Performance Center. She's been down there training unofficially for a while now, but because she was under 18, I don't think they could sign her or wanted to sign her, just because, again, that creates a whole bunch of issues for them. So I think they were waiting till she was 18 to make it official. And in case you don't know who she is The Rock's daughter with his first wife.
She would be the fourth generation superstar if she makes it to the WWE main roster.
Yeah, first one.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to her. We'll have to see what she can do. But she's got some big shoes she gotta get out of there. I don't envy that task at all.
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be a lot of expectations on her, and I just hope everybody realizes she's not her dad. She's herself.
Charlotte on backstage was like, don't listen to advice from your father. Get advice from trainers who don't think you're the best. That's the only way you'll improve. And she's right about that.
Yeah, she is. She's right about that. Because your dad will never tell you 100% the truth. He's always going to be your dad. But, you know, people outside of the family, that's a little different.
She said, listen to Sarah Del Rey. Listen to Norman Smiley. And she also said Terry Taylor, and everyone on the set gave her crap for saying Terry Taylor, so...
Why?
Because reasons. Anyway.
Leave Terry alone. He's a nice guy.
Moving on!
So, just a quick note. The next guest for the Broken Skull Sessions has been announced. It's going to be Big Show, and he will be on February 23rd, so are ready to check that out.
A week from Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the WWE Network.
Of course they're putting this one on at 8 p.m. on a Sunday. You know, the Kane one they put on at a really awkward time on a Sunday.
No, wasn't his on a Thursday? Yeah, his was on the Thursday following the...
Yeah, his was on a really awkward day, and that was the day that I was out of town. I still haven't watched that, by the way. I need to watch that. But, like, yeah, sure. Big Show goes on convenient time. Taker goes on a quasi-convenient time. At least I was home and awake. Kane? Nah.
No, wait. His was on a Sunday. It was right after the UK show. So it was like 3 p.m.
Yeah, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
When you were traveling
back. Because
it was
in the car.
Yeah.
I was so pissed because I had no cell service. And I was like, damn it, I can't watch it. And then I forgot. Because life. Another quick note. Kim Shamrock is going into the Impact Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him.
Congrats, GGs.
And that does it for the news.
Can I hit the bumper?
Hit the bumper.
This is the XFL!
So in case you were under a rock, in case you don't follow football, you're not interested in sports. That's right, folks. Last weekend was the official relaunch / debut of the brand new XFL. It aired on ESPN and Fox. And I have to say, I am incredibly impressed. Unlike the original, because I do remember the original, I think a lot of people do, this felt beyond legit. This was perfect in terms of the commentary. I mean, some of the commentators weren't the greatest, but for the debut games, at least, they had the muckety-mucks of ESPN and Fox on there calling the games. You had legit sports reporters at the games interviewing the players, interviewing the coaches. You had the good camera crews. You had everything you could ever want for this and more. Like, it felt like an NFL game. It really did.
It was a little bit like an NFL game, and it was a little bit like a college game. It was a great mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I heard Diana Rossini talk about her experience the first week. And she was the first reporter on the sideline who was doing all the interviews on the first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, she fully admitted she went overboard on the interviews, like, trying to get as many as she could.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're given free rein to do whatever they want.
Oh, that's neat.
Oliver Luck is, the commissioner, Oliver Luck is like, you guys have free rein to just, if you want to interview someone, go ahead. So it's like, she went full on. So, there's no, like, restrictions on it. Which is cool. Like, they're trying, the goal is to give you access like never seen before. So it's like, you can go up to a player and ask them whatever you want. So it's like, that's why in the first game there's a lot of interviews and everyone saw how it works. So it's like, a lot of other people pulled back, but they have free reign to do whatever they want. Like, Pat McAfee, he went crazy with some interviews. It's like, that's cool.
Pat McAfee was on the field. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah.
He's like talking about the game, and he's on like the 20-yard line while they're on the 40 heading the opposite direction. They're playing behind him.
Well, yeah, Pat's a little nuts. But no, the games were good. The games were really good. The kickoff works.
I love the kickoff.
Kickoff.
I love how they did the kickoff.
The extra points are cool. It's one. It's what, 1, 2, and 3, or something like that. 1, 2, and 5. 1, 3, and 5. Whatever it is for the point scale, which is cool. They encourage fourth down, which is fun. The if you kick it out of bounds rule.
Oh my God! I want to see that in the NFL. Just because I want to see people lose their minds. In case you don't know what it is, so if you do a touchback in the XFL, not only do they penalize you for it, they stick it on your opponent's 40, or they stick it on the 45-yard line.
That's not for
on your side.
That's not for a touchback if you kick it out of bounds.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you kick it out of bounds, they stick it on the 45. On the other side of the 50-yard line for your opponent. So they're in your territory automatically. That is, like, insane. For a touchback, it's the 25?
Something like that.
Yeah, but I got too confused. But yeah, the kicking it out rule,
it's a game changer.
That's insane. And I want to kind of want to see it in the NFL. Like, there's a lot that I'm seeing in the XFL that's like, okay, the NFL could do that, and they could do that, and they could do that. There's also a lot of players that, like, pretty much everybody on every team.
Except for this one poor kid.
Except for poor number 2. Bless his heart. He was so scared.
He was the backup quarterback. I forget what game it was, but he was the backup quarterback. And then he gets in there, and he's scared for his life back there.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you be too with the way the defenses were playing? Good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, this poor kid, he gets out there and he's shaking. He's scared. Like, he's like, I don't know what to do. I think he was, like, fresh out of high school or something like that. I mean, this poor kid, that's all we can say. Because it's like he's with all these, like, ex-college, ex-pro players who just either didn't make the cut, didn't make the draft, didn't make whatever. This is an alternative for them to go to. So a lot of them haven't played in a minute. Or if they have played, they've been on, like, practice squads, which means they haven't been able to throw or catch or hit in the case of the defenses. So they sent these defenses out there. Oh my God. Just, they were hitting. I haven't seen that in a long time because they don't let them do that in the NX or the NFL anymore. You forget about that. Like, what football used to be, because they've pulled back so hard on it that you watch it and you're like, ooh, like, and on top of it, we had, like, a couple, what, like, body slams. I think there was a back body drop at one point. Pretty sure there were a couple clotheslines. I mean, they were playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing super hard. But the best, Brent's gonna yell at us for this too, the best was on Sunday. Dallas's opening game. So on Saturday, for the official launch, the very first game was Seattle versus Washington, D.C. And so they do this very tasteful, understated launch for the XFL. If you remember the original launch, right? There's Vince out on the field doing, this is the XFL. And there's pyro and there's everything, right? This, they just kind of run out and on the field and they start playing. At least from what we saw on TV. I don't know what happened in the stadium. Dallas, the next day, they have bikers. They have pyro. And they have the team coming out to Charlotte's music.
Well done. Well done by them.
Showmanship. I have to love it. Showmanship. But then the even better part was Dallas is favored. I don't know how they came up with this, but Dallas is favored to win the XFL championship. What happens?
They lose.
They lose.
They were also favored to win that game by 9.5.
Yeah, they were. They lost.
Yeah, that was a thing. So good job, Dallas.
I do want to pose... Sorry, go ahead.
Good job, Dallas.
I do want to pose the hypothetical question. So, what happens if the Dallas Renegades win the XFL championship before the Dallas Cowboys manage to get back to the playoffs?
Super Bowl.
Well, I'm shooting low because
Dallas has low standards, is what you're saying? The Cowboys are like...
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they have low standards. I'm just saying, when was the last time they made the playoffs?
2 years ago.
So...
I'm saying Super Bowl. Lindsay doesn't believe in your Cowboys, Brent. She doesn't even think you get the playoffs. Hey, look, we have a Skype message.
Oh, get back here, Brent.
There you go. So there you go. That's our XFL update. We're going to give you some updates when we watch the games and stuff. Oh, quick little thing about the XFL. LA fired its defensive coordinator already.
Yeah, LA did not have a good game. LA kind of got the, like, beat up and just absolutely destroyed in their first game. So I think they're going to make readjustments. But from what I saw, I really liked what I saw. I'm interested to watch this weekend to see what happens. It's going to conflict with TakeOver a little bit, but that's why I have two screens. So I would strongly encourage anybody that is into football to check it out. It's not what you think it is. There are no cheerleaders. There's no cheerleader cams, if you remember the original one. It's just really straight up football. My one criticism of it, and then we can move on from here, was the whole all access. And this is why. I kind of like my football to have a little bit of smoke and mirrors. I don't need to see the whole process. I don't want to hear the ref conversations. I don't want to hear what goes on in the booth. I really don't want to be in the locker rooms at halftime hearing the strategy. And my biggest problem was the interviewers going for it on the sidelines, because she did go for it. Good on her for it. But yeah, it was like after every play, she was interviewing people. Now it got better because other people pulled back on that. I think they saw that and maybe told them to pull back a little bit, but that was a little much. Where I take issue is where they're miking the coaches while the coaches are calling the plays. And then you have the analysts saying, oh, well, this call means this and this call means this, which means he's going to pull this play. Like, that right there is the Patriots' wet dream. I'm serious. And what makes it worse is they're standing there covering their mouths, right, with their plastic sheets or their laminated sheets of paper. Mm-hmm. But they're mic'd, so they're calling the plays. So you don't see him speaking, but you hear him calling the play. I'm like, what's the point? You're mic'd. Everybody can hear you. Like, what's going to stop somebody from the opposing team from sitting somewhere, either at home or in the booth or whatever, and they're like, oh, they're going to call this, they're going to call this. You know? What's stopping a team? Mm-hmm. Nobody. That's where I kind of take an issue with it, is like, I don't need that much access. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool if you mic the coaches and they're, like, encouraging the players and that kind of thing, and it's like, hey, good job, because that I liked. Like, you know, it's like you got to hear the interaction between the players and the coaches. That was cool. I liked that. But when they're calling the plays, maybe don't mic them. Just a thought. Because the other innovation that they have is that they have, like, little headsets in the helmets for all the players.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can hear the coach.
Which is smart.
It's interesting. But it's funny because they all keep, like, putting their hands up over their ears and pressing the headsets into their ears because of the crowds so they can hear the coach.
Mm-hmm.
They all need hurt heel gloves. they're all, like, pressing their...
Gotta make it wrestling somehow.
Hey, we got an Orton pose.
We did get an Orton pose, yeah.
We got two Vince drops. So, you know, can't totally take the WWE out of the XFL. Gotta be a little bit. Just a smidge.
So, Tweet of the Week?
Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
Before Lindsay gets into her tweets, I need to react to something to Ashley on Twitter. We will comment on the rumor of the Bellas in the Hall of Fame when they're actually in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it then, which will probably be in a week or two.
Yeah, we want to wait and see if that's actually true or not before we say anything, because that's only fair. We don't want to sit here and be like, oh, you know, either way, and then it doesn't happen, because then it's like, oh, well, that looks stupid.
So we'll address that when it's official.
Yeah, gotta wait on that one.
All right, tweets.
All right, Bray Wyatt.
Yes. Or what?
If my beloved Raiders make the Super Bowl next year, I'll fight Sting at halftime in a chainsaw death match as long as he's available. And I put that on John Gruden. I hope you're happy, AB.
Which is Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Nixon, who's F.H. Nixon, he's a musician. tweets like laughing emojis at him, and Bray goes, "Plan B, if the Jags make it, I'll settle for you and me in a handicap match against all those K-pop guys everybody talks about. All of them." Bray is like really, really, really trying to get the Raiders to the Super Bowl. He's sweet summer child.
He's trying.
He's trying really hard to will that into existence. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. Trevor May, 2020, let's get it. Marcel, I still think I can hit off of him. And Paul, honestly, same.
Trevor's really trying to get that set up, by the way.
He's trying.
They all just gotta come to Florida, and they can do it at spring training.
They can. Valkyrie. "Hi, Cloaksy and Alexi Ray. You both have my two phone chargers, and now my phone is dead, and now I can't scroll through TikTok for 7 hours before I narrow to run at the gym without music since phone is dead. When one of you gets this, please bring one charger. Thanks, I'm having withdrawals." And she's just like spacing it out and spelling it weird because she's having withdrawals. And Alexi Ray goes, good morning? And TikTok asks, "Who woke up first?" And Alexi responds, "Me, of course." Because Cloak probably just went to bed.
Yeah, probably.
That's all I have.
Kayla Barkson, left my Beats headphones on the plane. I'm not getting them back. I guess it's time to finally become one of those AirPod people. Just because I lost a massive pair of wireless headphones that fit over my head doesn't mean I'll lose 2P-sized objects, right? She probably will.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. If someone tweets, if Tyler Breeze is stealing Alexa's look, maybe Alexa Bliss should do this from now on. That's Tyler's pose on the apron, on the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Pretty, she couldn't reach the top rope.
Ooh.
Alexa Bliss, I can reach. Boom, Roasting puts a picture of her on her tippy toes reaching the top rope. Booga. She got said, like, you just can't say booga. It's booga. Have you ever guys tried to convince your dog that it's okay to talk like a human? The things you think about. And Paul, just played 3 rounds of Tarkov. Got one tapped in the face in all 3 within 5 minutes. Gonna call it a day, I think. Dr. Lupo, this is Tarkov's way of saying it likes you. And Paul, I need Tarkov to grow up and ask me out already. Lupo, it's waiting for the right time. AKA when you're just about to ready to uninstall it because you've destroyed your keyboard and 2 monitors. Facts.
Well, I mean, he's already destroyed 1 monitor.
By humping it. Dr. Lupo, ready to see Birds of Prey at Marcus Theaters with the wifey. Honestly, I could pull off the Harley Quinn cosplay. Fishnets and all. Don't deny it.
I mean, he does have the legs for it.
He does. This one's for Brent out there. Brent, hopefully still listening. So, the tweet goes, name this tag team, Jim Cornette. And it's Jesus teaming up with Scooby-Doo after AEW Dynamite in Austin. Jim Cornette, new AEW title contenders, apparently? And finally, Mrs. Dr. Lupo, 2 great Charlieisms today. Mommy, did you have to spend a lot of money to get me? What happens if you leave poop in your butt forever?
I mean, these are honestly valid questions.
They are. They are. But that's Tweet of the Week.
That is Tweet of the Week. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to round up the analysts. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about NXT TakeOver Portland, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, "I don't care. Kid gets toys."
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. available weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Hashtag ad, hashtag epic party.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But to our friends over at MBG Films, check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, there we go, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have Twitch Prime and you want to use it here, click the purple button up at the top of the screen, see if you have one available, and, well, use it here if you do. Use it here if you don't. You know, we just want you to support the channel, because we love you. Also, twitch.tv/LinsWard, follow the channel. Thanks!
Got it. Make sure.
It's boots to asses time.
Hey, we have a thing.
Yeah! It worked! Thank you!
There you go. An anonymous gifter with an anonymous sub for Ash. There you go.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Awesome. So awesome. So, we're not alone.
We are not.
We have friends. And no, we're not playing Fortnite.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
We're not playing Fortnite yet. We'll be playing Fortnite when we're done this.
Yeah, otherwise I'd be out. What? Hi.
Hi! And I guess we have to bring on the other one. If he doesn't yell at us.
He'll yell at us.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all. The assistant to the assistant regional shark, intern shark Kane Kittens.
Okay, you know what? Fuck!
Oh, look, a mute button. He started the scream and everything, and I muted this thing, so he's not... Whatever he's saying can't be even heard.
Don't know what he's on about.
I don't know. I muted. What did he say?
What? What? What was that?
What was that?
There's like this static coming through. Rock, you gotta fix the audio.
Yeah.
You're all whores.
Hypothetically. Anyway.
I mean, yes, but I still don't know what you're talking about.
Follow twitch.tv/sunsward.
Shameless chill!
You just call me a whore. What do you want me to do?
Put it back in your pants.
Once you follow twitch.tv/sunsward.
How do you think anatomy works?
It doesn't come out that. Okay. All right. We're not going to explain that on this show. TOS. TOS. But anyway.
But more content, twitch.tv/lensword. Follow it right now.
Ding. We're trying to get me to affiliate, guys, so that I can then beg you for subs, because that's how this works. So, anyway, we are supposed to be talking about NXT Takeover Portland, but per us, we always have to deviate and
which is
go on many, many tangents.
Which is live this Saturday. Oh, wait, this Sunday on the WWE Network. Because they have to ruin our plans and how we do things.
You know, guys,
it's on a
Sunday. Have to do this on a Sunday. All right, we're going to do it on a Sunday. Side note, all of us will be live Sunday because there is no WTR. So you get to hear us instead of
Tim.
The normal WTR crew.
It's an invasion of WTR.
Mainly, there is no Tim Sunday. That's how that's going to work.
So technically, we're WTR?
Still,
it's an invasion.
It's the Rack Extra, and Omega doesn't have to work as hard and to carry Tim.
Yeah, it's an upgrade.
Omega doesn't have to carry the show.
He doesn't have to carry
really?
Tim. I mean, that's...
Oh, my God.
It'll be an easy
it's
Sunday
It's been so
him.
Long.
It's an easy Sunday for him. Anyway, let's get into TakeOver, which, I mean, now that it's on a Sunday, they're going crazy. They gave us six matches.
Six matches.
I mean, they're moving up in the world. I'm okay with this. So.
Yeah, they're a real brand. They get to be on Sunday like big boys.
They're excited. They're very excited.
We have two women's matches.
I mean, well, okay, all right. All right, I have to ask the question. Do we have two women's matches, or is one hypothetical?
Someone's going to die in that match.
So it's no longer hypothetical. It did, in fact. Happen.
It did happen. You've accepted reality.
Tegan going, kill a bitch.
But we'll get to that. Let's get into the card.
All right. So I don't think we are going to have a lot to talk about on this one, but we should talk about this one. Because for your North American Championship, you have Keith Lee taking on Dominik Dijakovic. This is not a bad match. This will never be a bad match, I feel like. It's always good. Does anybody disagree with that?
I mean, it could be a stinker. I mean, they could have two off nights, and it could be a total stinker, and the crowd won't like it. Neither one will be over. And, yeah, they could miss all their moves. And
Yeah, Keith Lee's got the flu, and Dijakovic lost an arm. And
I mean, that could happen.
Someone could not make the plane.
I mean, that could happen. Oh, we got to talk. We'll talk about a plane with the next match. but this will be good. It's not going to be the match of the night, but it'll be really good. Keith Lee is rolling.
If they opened with this, I think they'd be okay.
I don't know if you open with this, though.
I don't think you open with this.
Tag match might be the opener.
That would be my guess. Maybe.
That or Balor or Gargano.
Balor and Gargano strikes me as an opener.
It does.
You want a hot match to get the crowd
going. I know you want a hot match. I just don't know if they'll put that one.
Well, didn't they put Finn last time?
I honestly can see this or the tag.
Didn't Finn open Worlds Collide as one?
Yeah.
So he could open it.
Get Finn in and out.
Anyway.
Get me on the card first. I got shit to do.
The Brock Lesnar rule.
Well, I mean, especially for Johnny, because if Johnny is going to maybe play a factor in Tommaso's match, which he could, but we'll talk about that later, then you want to get him on first. But anyway, back to the North American Championship.
So Keith Lee's retaining, right? Everyone's agreeing on that one?
I think we all agree.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
All right.
Hold on. 8-Ball, do you agree that Keith Lee will retain the North American Championship this Sunday at NXT TakeOver Portland?
Nobody cares about the 8-Ball. The 8-Ball is a treacherous whore, and it lies.
It's decidedly so. So
it's lying.
It's on our team. It's on our team this
Just
time.
Just wait. It will turn.
You mean
like
how...
Like the tramp
talk
that
about
it is.
Turns.
You mean
don't
how
talk about turns, damn it.
How Dakota Kai turned on Tegan
Knox
back
Brock.
In Wargame.
Really? Still,
do we just want to talk about it? Let's just get it out of the way.
No, let's wait. We'll get to it.
Okay.
Gotta build excitement.
All right. So up next, you have your tag team championships on the line, as the Broserweights are cashing in their title shot that they earned in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, and they're taking on Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly of Undisputed Era.
This is a tag team I didn't know I wanted, but it's a tag team I wanted all along.
I need a buddy cop movie. I need a buddy cop movie right now involving Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle.
That
because the skits.
Oh,
did you guys
God.
See the skits?
Yes.
They're great.
There were skits. No one told me there were skits.
Have the Brit drive, even though he doesn't have a license.
So, yeah, basically they're celebrating their victory with the trophy, and they're going
to
go on a road trip, right? Except
Portland.
Neither one of them has a driver's license, so they get pulled over, and the car gets towed, and then they're in one of those swan paddle boat things with the trophy paddling around, and they're trying to figure out how to get somewhere, and then Matt Riddle's like, hey, I know a guy, and they show up at an airport at a private jet, and they throw the trophy and themselves into the luggage hatch of a private plane.
No, not luggage hatch, the boot, and he was, yeah, the boot. And
they're in the boot, which I don't think is climate control, but anyway, turns out it's Triple H's private jet.
Yeah, it was Hunter's
like,
jet.
I can't do it justice.
Yeah.
You need to go watch them.
If you
didn't see these guys, go watch them.
Yeah, go see them. They're on the YouTube channel. They were trying to get their way to Portland. They have to figure out a way to get to Portland with the trophy. So they have to, you know, do it. And Matt's favorite place to think is on a swan paddle boat. Why? Because it's Matt Riddle.
It was at that point that I was like, Trent just needs to come to get his grumpy son and his very weird stoner boyfriend because they just need adult supervision. Because you see, at multiple points during all of this, Pete Dunne questioning his life choices. Namely, how did he get here? And why do these people keep finding him? Like, he's perfectly content to just be himself and be alone, but oh no. These psychotic extroverts keep finding him, and he can't get away from them, and he just has to go with it.
This is what happens when you leave teeth marks on a belt.
I mean...
Not a lie. Now, when it comes to this matchup, we all know it's going to be really good. Really, really good. It's these four guys. They're going to tear the house down. But is the Undisputed Era's time as champions over, Omega?
It feels like it's been a long time, because it has been. Like, I feel like it's been great to have such a dominant team, but I think I'm a little bit tired of the Undisputed Era in general. Of course, I think I said that, like, you know, 3 months ago. It hasn't changed. I kind of want to see them do something else with the tag belts. I kind of want to see new competitors. I don't just want to see Fish and O'Reilly, you know, continue to beat everybody. I don't know. I feel like it's time for them to drop those belts. I don't know if this is the team.
But NXT doesn't have that many other tag teams that are cooking right now.
I know, but...
Because a lot of NXT right now is single, unlike another promotion where it's tag. This is all singles. So, putting these two together, while they might not be the right team, they're the most overt team, and you strike while the iron is hot with them, heading into Mania?
You can create an interesting scenario. You can actually work with... Like, since the belts have moved, you can cause a surgence in the tag division because now the dominant team is off their throne. Now the belts might seem a little bit more viable to focus on. You could play it that way. I am more debating this because I'm so sick of Riddle. I'm sick of his shtick to get himself over that's not doing anything for anyone.
You're talking about the Lesnar stuff?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's lit, bro. It's lit.
Bruh.
No, someone at the Foley Q&A asked, like, what do you think of Riddle, like, going after Brock Lesnar on social? And it's like, he needs to tell people he's working with that he's working with them and not just go into business for himself. So it's not just me, thank God. McFoley's sick of it too, so I get to be validated. But yeah, like, I feel like it's time to just. I'm gonna give it to the Broserweights, like, if I'm picking between the two, just because I want something new to happen with the tag division. I want those belts to change hands, finally.
Brent, thoughts?
So, to sum up kind of what I'm thinking on this, 2019 going into 2020 could be defined as the Undisputed Era, correct?
Yeah.
That's when they had their prophecy, they all got gold, they all ruled NXT. start of 2020, you start to see some change. Roddy drops the belt to Keith. Tommaso is going for Adam and wants Goldie back. And the tag boys are having to face the most functional, dysfunctional tag team you could put together. When it comes, I mean, Fish and O'Reilly are a good tag team. No one will deny that. They've held the belts for a long time. They've had their run. It's their second time with the belt. But like Omega kind of hinted at, it's time to shift a little. And I think there's more story moving forward with the Undisputed Era of either Adam hangs onto the belt and is the only one who has it, and it becomes the dynamic of, you know, did the other guys wonder what's going on? You know, does Adam start to question the group? Or, the way that I think it all goes down, you could have the Undisputed Era completely lose everything and go, what the hell happened? And have to start to look inside themselves and wonder, you know, what's going on here? Plus the fact of, you've seen what these two idiots do with a trophy. What's going to happen if these idiots get belts? And then you have vignettes of that.
I can't wait, honestly.
To me, there's more moving forward with Undisputed Era drop the belts, and the Broserweights become champions, and you have to follow them around, than Fish and O'Reilly retain, and the Broserweights are just kind of there, or go their separate ways, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I think moving forward, there's more to it, and it's just time. We need some new champs, bro.
Lindsay?
I'm kind of in agreement with everybody else. I think the tag division needs to be reinvigorated a little bit, just because Undisputed Era has been wonderful champions. They've been super dominant, but it's time. And I really kind of want to see the awkwardness and the very slow realization of Pete Dunne, that he wins a title with Matt Riddle and then realizes he's stuck with him till he loses the title with Matt Riddle. And just the horror that's going to come over, or what little horror will come over Pete Dunne's face, because it's like, oh crap, I didn't mean to do that. But he meant to do it.
I'm handcuffed to this?
Because I think Pete Dunne's having fun with it. It's something new. It's something different. We haven't really seen what I would term this side of Pete Dunne before, which is he's doing exactly what he always does. But now he's being put in a comedy situation with the straight man. And he's done this in the past with Trent and Tyler. And we never really got to see that here in the States. You got to see it all the time over in Europe. But here, in this context, we haven't seen it yet. So I like that they're doing that with him. We also need to be aware that there's probably could be shenanigans involved in this, because Roddy could come out and try to help. Same thing with the Adam Cole match. Roddy comes out and tries to help Fish and O'Reilly. Dream gets involved, potentially. That's what costs them the titles. Or Roddy tries to come out and help Adam. Dream gets involved. That's what costs Adam. Like, I feel like at some point there's going to be shenanigans with Roddy in one of the two matches, because he's going to try and help. He's going to help retain the legacy. And I feel like either Adam or Undisputed Era, the tag titles, they're leaving. They're going to somebody else. I'm just not sure who's getting what.
Okay, sticking with that, who wins?
As much as I love Fish and O'Reilly, I really want the Broserweights to win. I think it's just better TV. I think it's more entertaining all around. Undisputed Era is always better when they chase. And they need to bring some life back into that tag division, because Fish and O'Reilly have beaten everybody twice. There's nobody left. You need fresh blood in there to give people a reason to chase, because otherwise what's the point of the titles if you're just going to have them hold them forever? So whether it's shenanigans or not, I want the Broserweights to win.
Omega, pick?
Yeah, the Broserweights.
Brent?
Bro.
I'll go Broserweights as well. 8-Ball, will the Broserweights win the tag team titles at TakeOver? So ask again. Will Undisputed Era retain their titles on Sunday? It is decidedly so.
See? Treacherous hoe.
All right. Let's get to it.
All right. We're just going to let Brent take this one. Street fight. Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox. Go, Brent.
Some bitch is going to die that night. Okay. I don't want to do it.
Okay, I'm going to step in for Brent for a second.
Thank you.
Everyone needs tomorrow, whenever, sometimes this weekend, go to youtube.com and search out the WWE PC YouTube channel where they're doing the comeback story of Tegan Nox. This stuff needs to be on actual television. It's so damn good. And it's like, your heart breaks for her, because they're showing the parts where she got injured the first time and now the second time. and her road. And you have Dakota Kai doing, like, the interviews from, like, a couple years ago. So it's, like, when they were really, like, best friends at that point. And, like, you have them all, like, really sad for her and really happy she's making the comeback. And then you see her fall with the injury and it's like, oh, that sucks. It's like, you really feel for her, which I think this whole comeback thing is leading to a big failure for Sunday, but that's just me.
Shut your whore mouth.
No, it's just because the way they've been booking, it's like they're going to build her up as this is her big revenge, and she already got the win on TV a couple weeks ago, so it's like, at some point, Dakota needs to get the win. It's a street fight. There can be shenanigans involved that she can, you know, some tricks she can pull out.
Candace
could get involved. Whatever it is, but it's like, this match is built for Tegan to win, but it's also built for her to take the loss and have to make one more comeback against Dakota.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this question. Mm-hmm. What happens if Candace does get involved and Candace turns on Tegan and aligns with Dakota?
No. This can't happen. This cannot happen.
Why can't it happen?
She's already had one friend turn against her. We can't do... And Candace, of all people, can't be the one to do it. She's watched it happen to Johnny so many times. It just can't happen.
But that's why it's perfect. Nobody would expect Candace.
No, it can't happen.
It won't happen because they're not going to put her in that position. But I mean,
but I'm just asking hypothetically.
Oh no! You don't get to use that word.
Hypothetically, what happens if Candace interferes and she turns against Tegan and she helps Dakota win? That's one way you could.
Doesn't make it out of Portland.
That's one way that you could have Tegan take the loss, and it doesn't necessarily hurt Tegan, because Candace got involved, and then that builds now where Tegan now has to overcome both Candace and Dakota.
Mance brings up would make it better if Tegan come back to overcome those odds. But after, you know, Dakota busted her nose on TV last night, I don't think Candace is going to turn.
You don't know.
I don't know, but I don't think it'll happen.
Omega, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to agree with Brent. Someone's going to die. I do kind of get that same vibe of this is all being built up to be some kind of huge thing for Tegan. I don't see it. I don't think, like, Dakota Kai, like, being this still fairly new as a heel, I still want her to, you know, show some of that heel dominance in a street fight. It definitely favors that. I don't know. I think it's too soon. Like, you show how brutal she was when she turned in the first place. I think you keep that going a little bit longer. But yeah, this is going to be brutal.
I just want everyone to listen to this exclusive interview from WWE.com.
Saw what happened. Clearly, you did not want to wait until this Sunday at NXT TakeOver Portland with your rage boiling over like it is. Are you going to be able to control your emotions when you face off with Dakota Kai?
Sunday? I don't need to control my emotions, John. Did you see what she just did to Candace? You don't put your hands on my sister and think you can get away with it. This time is personal. Sunday, I end Dakota Kai.
Boom.
I am so happy. No, okay, honest analysis here.
Okay. About time, finally.
Shut up, you guys. I think the thing is rumor had it, going into the second Mae Young Classic, she was the predicted winner.
She was. She was going to win.
It wasn't going to be Tony.
Or Rhea.
It was going to be Tegan, and that was going to set her up to move forward. They've been high on her for a while. Then the injury happened where she completely blew out. I mean, it's not just like, you know, in football we hear, oh, he tore his ACL. She tore everything. MCL, ACL, meniscus, dislocated a kneecap. It was just everything that could go wrong on one move did. And so she's been fighting to get her way back to the ring. Now, what happened. Things kind of took a turn in November.
When Dakota Kai decided to just destroy Tegan Nox in a little cage and beat her to death, yeah.
When Dakota Kai made a very big mistake, which is leading to tonight, or to Sunday night. She made one choice, and Sunday is going to be her payback. But you're talking about the redemptive story of Tegan and how this is being built up as that kind of moment. This should be, you know, where she takes that next step. And it very well could be. The way, if they're going to do it another way, if they're going to have it where Dakota does pick up the win, the way it can happen is you play off of what happened at War Games, where Dakota targets the knee and she works it over the whole match. She's, you know, throwing it into the pole. She's doing all of the dastardly things that you normally can't do in a match. You can do in a match because the referees just allow it. But it's one of those things where, you know, maybe she locks in a heel hook or some kind of move. And it turns into that, you know, either Tegan passes out or Candace comes out and throws in the towel to try and just save her from you know, ending her career, essentially.
To explain so that, go ahead.
So it's not a turn by Candace. It's more the kind of like, I can't let you do this. And then you can build up, if you're going to do the redemptive arc, of Tegan being like, no, I can do this. And Candace just being in her corner.
To explain to Ash, Tegan Nox suffered two devastating knee injuries. She tore her ACL in the right knee a year later after making a comeback. She was cleared for two, three weeks. She tore her left ACL and destroyed her entire left knee. So she
and that's on top of a ACL injury she suffered when she was younger,
mm-hmm.
So playing soccer and rugby.
So that's the story there. All right, let's go around the table.
Wait.
What do you have to add?
I just want to say this. However this ends, I want it to feel more satisfying than what the TV match was, because I feel like the TV match was a little underwhelming, and it was underwhelming for a reason, because they were coming here,
mm-hmm.
to this, where it's a street fight, where anything goes, and they're just going to beat the tar out of each other. So whatever the finish is, whoever the winner is, I really want this to be super satisfying either way.
Okay.
Because I feel like it should be.
Yeah, it should be. Let's go around the table. Omega, who you got?
Dakota Kai.
Brent, who do you got?
I can't go against Boo. I'm sorry.
So you go with Tegan?
Yes.
Lindsay, who do you got?
You know what? I'm going to say Dakota Kai. I think this goes one more round.
I'll go with Tegan Nox. 8-Ball.
Rock, you're a good man.
8-Ball, break the tie. Does Dakota Kai beat Tegan Nox on Sunday? Most likely.
Treacherous whore.
I told you. All right. Up next in the match that somebody's probably going to die in, Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano.
We're predicting a lot of death.
I mean, it's TakeOver.
It's TakeOver.
It's the battle for NXT's soul. Let's just call it what it is.
They've done a really good job building this. It's been an additional 3 months of build because, well, reasons. They're going to tear the house down. Finn's on the rise. Johnny needs a win. Looking at this match, I just go... Everyone can't win. I think Finn needs to win more, even though for like Johnny's career, he needs to win. But I think Finn's more destined to do things more than Johnny is right now.
Finn is finding his stride with this character. He was in limbo for so long, and he's finally got what he's got, and it's working for him. He's doing a really good job with it. It's really entertaining. And Johnny's there, and Johnny's doing what he's always done. And it's great. And we love Johnny. Everybody loves Johnny. But it's just Finn is... What Finn's got going on right now, I don't know. I think it's better.
Finn's being the book to be dominant, Omega.
He is. And it's been a great little resurgence for him so far. And it was... really unfortunate to see him fall into that mid-card, some, 50-50 win-loss record on the main roster. It's been good. It's been good to see him as the heel. It's been good to see him dominant.
Motivated.
Yes. It is a hard spot to call, because it does feel like Gargano really needs a win here. He needs some kind of significant win to keep some of his, position, for lack of better phrasing. Like, at the same time, I feel like if Brent is right, if we are like anticipating the fall of the Undisputed Era, I could very easily see this leading to Tommaso versus Finn for the belt, which would be a huge Mania match if you want to book that.
Brent, thoughts?
God damn it, you went exactly where I was going to go. When I was talking about Undisputed Era and how things can fall, my first thought was, if Tommaso wins, the person that's waiting right there in the wings, the person who, honest to God, picture this. You have new Finn Balor and the Blackheart.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. And if they get a stage Takeover Mania, because, God, I'd love to see that on the main show, but you can't kill Takeover like that. But those two guys, I know we always joke about, oh, someone's going to die in this match. Those two could legitimately kill each other.
Oh,
they're just going to have fun.
The theme song says it. No one will survive.
Mm-hmm. It's just Finn with this new, I don't even want to call it ambition. It's this, his resurgence,
his attitude, his outlook,
his renaissance. I mean, it's just, you can tell Hunter is basically like, what do you want to do? We'll go along with it, but what do you feel comfortable with? Because when he was on the main roster, you know, you had Smiling Finn. And yeah, everyone loved him, and he was a man of the people, and yes, he is that dopey on Instagram. But there was just something missing there. It's like he had the demon entrance, he had that kind of presence, but even with the demon, while it was more intense, it still felt like something was missing. When you see Finn come out in NXT and, you know, doing the 1916 and just being more methodical and more vicious, it's like he doesn't need the demon. He just is.
Thank you, Bray.
He didn't even need a lake of reincarnation for this. But no, it's just Finn looks completely engrossed with this. He gets to stay close to home. He doesn't have to do all the traveling. He gets to be where he's comfortable and where he knows he can work with people and, you know, can do the style that makes him feel like himself. And with that, you can just tell he is more in tuned with NXT and the fans and the environment than he was on the main roster. Now, was being on the main roster a bad thing? Not necessarily, but you can tell this is his home. And as much as, you know, it's Johnny Takeover, and we love Johnny, he's going to put out there a great match, this needs to be, I think, a Finn Balor win to carry forward and to set him up as that person lurking for Tommaso. Because we've seen Tommaso as champion before, and he was the hunter. What happens when, you know, the head of the pride goes up against another hunter?
I'm just going to say this. Finn Balor walked so Johnny Gargano could run. Like, before Johnny was Johnny Takeover, Finn made Takeover. Finn was a part of the creation of it. Finn was one of the people that put NXT in its current incarnation on the map. He helped build this. This is his. And then he got taken and he got sent to the main roster, and there they didn't know what to do with him because he got hurt. And that's always, I think, the question in everybody's mind. If Finn hadn't got hurt in the Universal title match, what would have happened, right? Like, would he have had that momentum and would he have rolled forward, or would he have become Smiling Finn? We'll never know. We will never know. But now Finn's back. He has a new attitude. He has a new outlook. He has a new everything. As much as I love Johnny, I don't feel like this is Johnny's match to win.
So you're going Finn?
I'm going to say Finn. I think they need to keep Finn rolling because Adam Cole has done a wonderful job of carrying NXT as the top heel. He's been phenomenal. But I feel like Adam Cole maybe needs a rest, and you need to bring Finn Balor into the title picture. Because I feel like whoever wins this match is coming out of this and going for the title. Whether it's Johnny, whether it's Finn. Whoever this is, whoever wins, their next stop is that title. It has to be. Because what else do you do with them? Where else do they go?
Megan, who you got?
I've got Finn.
Brett, who you got?
When you come at the king, you best not miss. Johnny's going to misfire Balor.
I'm going with Finn as well, and I'll throw this out there. What if both men aren't challenging for the NXT Championship at Mania?
Then
we all get pregnant. That's what happens.
What if it's a four-way for the championship at Mania weekend?
Look, my ovaries can't take that, okay?
I'm sorry. I don't want to see that. I don't. There's talk of another possible three-way for something else, and I'm kind of tired of the whole, like, for Mania, it's going to be a three-way, a four-way. It's just like, I understand putting some of these people in the match together. Yes, it's kind of what we want to see. But at the same time, at times, I just want a good one-on-one match.
But we don't often see a four-way in a high-profile style for a takeover. We don't.
Takeover, no, but I'm just meaning, like, during Mania and the Mania build.
Oh, I know. Everyone gets thrown in because everyone has to be on WrestleMania. But you take your top four people, you throw them into a match, and let them go for an hour? I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, yes and no. But
Brent doesn't like nice things. 8-Ball. Does Finn...
Damn you.
I'm honestly kind of with Brent. Like, on the WrestleMania weekend, I feel like titles need to be one-on-one. I feel like there needs to be just one person who clearly stands out as the challenger, and you shouldn't muddle it with throwing in every possible person.
Well, if you want to throw in every possible person, then you throw in Velveteen Dream, and you throw a bunch of other people. Anyway, 8-Ball, does Finn Balor
Velveteen can go for the world title anytime once.
So you make it a 5-way with Velveteen. I got it. Does Finn Balor beat Johnny Gargano, 8-Ball? 8-Ball says better. It doesn't want to tell me.
Damn it, 8-Ball.
There you go. Anyway, next.
All right. In a match that they're just going to beat the crap out of each other, for the Women's Championship, because it's back to being called that, Rhea Ripley is taking on Bianca Belair. Thoughts?
Let's go steal the show.
Yeah. This is going to be great.
The thing that really sold me on this match, not that I really needed selling, especially after, you know, Royal Rumble and Survivor Series and all of that, was what happened on NXT this week. When you had Bianca go out, absolutely destroy Santana Garrett, basically call out Rhea as, like, you're looking past me, I'm right here. Rhea comes out, fires back with the, no, I see you. And at TakeOver, I'm going through you. And just the quick little brawl they had, but Bianca just out of nowhere hitting the KOD.
She sent a message.
That bit right there, I was just like, I want to see these girls go for 20 minutes and just beat the piss out of each other.
And they will.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, it's clear there's only one winner.
Yeah.
This was the other match I was talking about that I've heard rumor could change a little bit.
It could, but I don't...
Into a three-way. And this is also one where I don't want to see it. I just want to see a one-on-one for that title.
No,
at Mania.
Because you don't...
Oh, you're going to.
You don't... Yeah, it's going to be a one-on-one. Everyone thinks, oh, because Bianca is very hot, the momentum's there, but her momentum's going to continue there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to throw this out
keep
there.
Keep in mind, because NXT is still new to a lot of WWE's audience, they needed something to elevate their champion to the point where Charlotte and Rhea can be a viable match, where the NXT title is appealing enough of a challenge to actually burn a Royal Rumble victory on challenging at Mania. So you have to have someone like a Bianca Belair, who is red hot, who is built up really strong, in order to put your champion over and make it look as good as possible.
Imagine this. Imagine you want to keep Bianca hot. What, pay-per-views in May, June? Something called Money in the Bank? Imagine she wins that.
Honestly, though, I wouldn't turn my nose up at Charlotte versus Bianca.
I mean, that would be really good. Charlotte loves her.
I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, Bianca versus Charlotte, that could be really good.
And we'll get that at some point, but not Mania weekend. Not at WrestleMania. WrestleMania is Rhea and Charlotte. I think that's an agreement we all can make, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The way that they're pointing it, but at the same time, I can see them doing that hard left turn. And because Charlotte's not looking at Bianca, she's looking at Rhea. And she's thinking she's going to take Rhea. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Bianca wins the title off of Rhea, beats her for it. And then Bianca looks at Charlotte and it's like, here I am. You going to challenge me or not?
I mean, they could go that way, but Rhea's the star they're making first.
Oh, I know. I know, I'm just saying that would be a really good left turn because we're all sitting here going, it's going to be Rhea versus Charlotte, it's going to be Rhea versus Charlotte, but what if it's not? But that being said, I feel like Rhea's going to win. I mean, as much as I love Bianca, as much as I want her to win the title, unless somehow, some way, Charlotte figures into this somehow.
She'll be there.
She'll be there, but it's like the question is, does she play a factor in this match? But I feel like Rhea's going to win.
Omega, Rhea?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brent?
I think Rhea, although I could see shenanigans with the Queen involved.
I don't think there's going to be shenanigans. I think if Charlotte's there, it's to observe.
She'll come out after the match.
The only way I can see Charlotte factoring, really, is Bianca gets
Bianca gets cocky, and that's what costs her, is she just, because she is as young as she is, she lets her ego kind of get the best of her, and that's how she loses the match, is she mouths off and Rhea takes advantage, and that's how Rhea wins. Like, I don't feel like this is going to be an easy win for Rhea.
It's not going to be easy, but it will be a win. I'll go Rhea. 8-Ball, does Bianca beat Rhea for the title?
It says asking.
So, will Rhea retain the title? Will Bianca win the title?
Is there a title?
I look not so good. There we go. We got an answer. Finally got an answer.
Okay, yeah,
Undecisive bitch.
It said concentrate again. So it's like, all right.
You weren't concentrating hard enough. You need to think about it really, really, really hard.
Okay, Ripley wins. It's confirmed now.
All right. And last, but certainly not least, in what has the potential to be match of the night, because we all know this will be absolutely phenomenal, Adam Cole takes on Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. Thoughts?
Y'all been talking about how it's the end of Undisputed Era and how we're going to move on from Adam Cole. This show doesn't seem like it's the place to move on from Adam Cole. With the Mania show coming, that feels like the bigger moment, the bigger spotlight to end the Adam Cole title reign. This one just, I don't know, Tommaso coming back and getting the title here, it doesn't feel right to me. Mike, what do you think?
It's weird to me because if you're not going in the direction of Ciampa versus Balor at Mania for the belt, then what are you doing building up another, you know, super dominant heel alongside Adam Cole? Like, you got to set up the next bad guy, but, you know, if you don't have someone, if you don't have a face holding that belt, then you're not doing it for anything. Like, it feels like Mania should be where, Adam Cole should be dropping the belt. At the same time, every takeover is meant to be a big deal. Every one of them feels like a super good show, and I don't really feel like there's any issue with him dropping it in this one and setting up something different for the Undisputed Era at Mania, where, you know, during Takeover weekend, you know, we're during Mania weekend, you might see like the full like implosion of the Undisputed Era. Or if you want to have like a breakdown in leadership and you have like Roddy versus Cole, so something like that. Because knowing WWE, I think they would rather have a known name, like a main roster known name, like Finn Balor in the highlight match for Mania, especially now that they're putting NXT on actual TV and trying to get over as a main brand itself. I feel like that's the Mania match they are setting up because they're trying to sell people on NXT. So they're trying to get that familiar name into that title picture for Mania. That's the impression I'm getting.
Right.
I understand that you said it doesn't feel like the right time. However, there is a albatross that's looming over NXT right now, and that's the three initials of that other company in Florida. They've got to compete with them because that's what everyone has made of it. You're fighting against the other group. Everyone's checking the ratings. Everyone's looking at what's going on. And while I understand that this may not feel like a time for Cole to lose the belt, if he drops the belt, and I mean, we don't know that this is where they're going, but if the hypothetical next feud is if Cole drops the belt to Ciampa and you have Finn Balor in the wings, that is a not only a Mania level build, that's something that can carry your TV for the months, you know, the next 2 months leading to Mania, that will get people to want to tune in to see what these two guys are going to do leading up. Plus, as I talked about earlier with this recap, if Cole drops the belt, to me, it gives you a little bit more to do with in terms of the Undisputed Era, because you've built them up. They've had all the gold. They've been the dominant power in NXT. And then you can see what happens. You know, what happens if it all comes crumbling down? What happens when they have to try and fight back for their titles? And you've had people like Gargano and Ciampa come back to be able to step to them. You've got Finn Balor waiting in the wings, who isn't afraid to take on an Adam Cole, but he's probably moving on to other things. It just seems to me that this event, especially because it is a standalone, they are getting the Sunday, you know, network event spot. So every takeover is big, and when we whenever we finish it up, we're always just like, wow, can this, you know, where does this rank sometimes, or oh, is this a great takeover? I can see the end at the end of the night, Tommaso Ciampa having to relinquish his belt because of that injury, getting Goldie back, and the fans going nuts for it.
Lindsay?
So, I'm kind of seeing a couple different options for Adam Cole. Because here's my issue. Adam Cole retains, which we'll all love. Like, either way, good, bad, or indifferent, this is going to be an absolutely fantastic match. It's a match of the night, match of the year candidate for sure. Bar none, no question on that. Don't need to talk about that. My question is, what do you do with Adam Cole? If he retains, where does he go? And like we said, the winner of Gargano Finn is probably going to be your next number one contender for the title after Tommaso, leading into WrestleMania. Honestly, I can kind of almost see Finn coming in and bitch slapping Adam Cole and taking his title. I could really see that. I know it's a heel on heel situation, but Finn is such a stronger heel that it almost makes Adam that tweener baby face a little bit, because what is he going to do against Finn? Finn doesn't care. Finn wants that title. He wants that spot. He wants to get back to the top of the mountain. If he has to go through Adam Cole to do it, fine. Here we go. Let's do the thing. And I can see that being a really strong feud, because I can see Finn goading Adam. Oh, you got your boys. You got to hide behind your boys. And he goads Adam to the point that Adam comes out from behind Undisputed Era and they have the fight. And it's whoever the best man is wins, in theory. My other thought is Chamber, as far as I've heard, is undecided of who's going to participate in that. What all's going on with that? Could you see Adam Cole, if he loses the title, potentially show up in the Elimination Chamber? And they let him play around in the Elimination Chamber at a bid to get a shot, I think, at this point, of Bray Wyatt. Because Bray Wyatt's not spoken for yet, as far as we know. Or does he win the Chamber and potentially take a bid at Finn, or whoever else, or Johnny, or Tommaso, or whoever has his title at that point? Does he go into the Chamber to win the guaranteed title shot, and he takes it back to NXT with him? And that's how he gets into the title match for NXT.
I don't think Chamber's for a guaranteed title shot, though. It's just for the whatever belt. It's for the SmackDown.
Yeah, it's a number one contendership.
Yes, it's not the Rumble shot where you can go cash it in anywhere. Chamber is just going to be for the SmackDown championship.
Okay, but still, you could have Adam go into that and contend for Bray.
You could.
Because, okay, hypothetically.
There's that word again.
For Chamber, hey, you need six people.
Yeah, there's six people.
To contend for Bray?
Yeah, they've announced.
On SmackDown?
They announced them. They're not all great, but they're there.
I'm just saying. That's just something that popped into my head. But, I mean, realistically, Adam Cole versus Finn, that's not a bad match, especially for Mania, because you have your two top names in NXT really going for each other. Adam Cole versus Johnny, you know, we've seen it before. It would be a really good wrestling match, but in terms of the story, especially with Johnny, we've been there. We've seen it. Tommaso versus Adam, okay, all right, I'll take that. Tommaso versus Finn, yeah, absolutely. So there, Finn versus Adam, I don't know, that just does something for me. With just the back and forth between the two, and the history that's between the two, because you know there's history there.
That's why I'm saying a four-way.
Because you could pull, were they in the Bullet Club together?
Who?
Adam and Finn?
No, Finn had left Bullet Club by the time Adam had joined, because Adam was there with Kenny and got replaced by Marty.
Okay, so you have that whole history past you can bring up as well. I just, there's a lot there that they can work with, and I'm not saying that they couldn't make that happen later on, because they're both obviously there for the long haul, but to me it's just an interesting thing where it's like, Finn versus Adam, where you have Adam almost in the babyface role and you have Finn as the heel, and maybe that's a way that you turn Adam face. Although I don't know if him as a good guy would be very good.
I don't think he does good guy work, but Tweener would be all right.
Tweener would be all right, but that could happen. Now, coming back to the match.
Who do you have?
I want Tommaso to win. I don't think he's going to win, but I want Tommaso to win just because I love Adam. But I'm a little sick of him as champion. I feel like he's kind of gone through everybody. He really kind of can at this point, outside of a select few, and it's time. It's time for a little fresh blood. He's done wonderful as the champion. He's carried the show. He has proven time in and time out that he is absolutely amazing at what he does. And he's one of the best people that they have going right now in the company. But we were all heartbroken when we watched Tommaso give up that title. We've all sat here and watched and waited for Tommaso to come back, waited for him to reclaim Goldie, and now here we are. And Tommaso's focus is solely on Adam Cole and Goldie. He's not looking at anybody else or anything else. And when Tommaso gets hyper-focused like that, people get hurt.
Do you remember Triple H's We Are NXT speech on Raw?
Yeah.
Where they just laid everyone out. All the NXT roster for Survivor Series was standing in that ring lined up, and he's given that speech, and everyone is just looking on, just kind of proud. Adam Cole's just standing there, cocky as hell. Ciampa's just staring at that belt.
Yep.
He doesn't give a shit about anything that Triple H is saying or anything they're trying to say. He's staring at the belt.
So does Tommaso get his belt, Omega?
I think he does.
Brent? Goldie, daddy's home.
Going Adam Cole.
Be the lone wolf, Rock.
I am. Going Adam Cole, baby. Aiba, will Tommaso Ciampa win the NXT Championship on Sunday? You may rely on it.
The lone wolf.
Adam Cole, baby. Bye.
But I think that does it for our NXT TakeOver preview. What do you guys think? You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lens Ward, and, you know, tell us your picks. What do you think? All that fun stuff, because we're always happy to hear it. But people have stuff to plugs, and this is going to take 5 years. So who wants to go first?
Mike, go.
I try to keep it as quick as I can. You can find me usually as TJ Omega online, unless you want to follow me on Facebook. That's TJ Reviews. Pretty much everywhere else, TJ Omega. You can follow me there on Twitter. You can follow me on YouTube, or you can check out some other stuff I'm up to over at TJOmega.net.
Right.
Well, I don't really have much to plug. If you want to see any of my ramblings online, you can find me at Kane Kittens on Twitter. You can also find me Thursdays and Saturdays on Fortnite with Friends, as well as Sunday or Saturday nights right afterwards doing CB Radio, because I have no soul left.
Indeed. Speaking of CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, we'll be doing NBA Centers for NBA All-Star Weekend, so tune in to the Greater Than Great Debate for that. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio won't be on the air, but we'll be live with the Rack Extra Reviews, NXT TakeOver Portland, once the show ends, probably around 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So come back and take a listen. We'll be back for the Raw Post Show Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 3 is now available. Episode 4 will be available on Wednesday. It's hard to keep track when you've seen just about all the episodes. So there's that. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview, maybe? Are you on a preview? No, we may have a discussion next week. Alright, so there you go. We would be previewing. Yeah, we'll be previewing Super Showdown. Got it.
Get it right, Rock. Get it right.
There's so many shows happening. It's Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Tune in radio, just search the Rock Radio Show. And Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel. It's that simple. It's that easy. Also, use credit code ROCKSOCK in the $4.99 shop or Epic Game Store, because they're having a Share a Love event, and like a lot of their games are on sale in the Epic Game Store right now, I think. I don't know. Check it out. Hashtag ad. Hashtag Epic Partner.
I'm just going to say that. This, quick, he's confused. Somebody grab the keys to WTR Island. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWRD, and you can follow me directly on Twitch under the same name, Lens Ward. So please go follow my channel. This is the road to me getting affiliated so I can then beg you for subs, because that's how this all works. And you can also check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So everybody sit tight, take a quick break, go get something to drink, go get a snack, go do whatever you need to do, because we are going to squat up, we're going to bring up Fortnite, and we're going to go do things in the Fortnite with the friends. So
stay tuned. But till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back shortly. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.